Welcome to week 16 of the Shy Bears podcast. This is Brad, and it's only me again this week, but that's all right. And there's not really too much to talk about this week. Coming off a loss again, that's pretty much expected. I don't think anyone really expected a Bears win against the Packers, but maybe some people had their hopes up. A lot of people had their hopes up that it would be closer, but it wasn't. Wasn't far off from what I thought it would be, but I guess maybe I wasn't. I either was giving the Packers' defense too much credit or not enough credit to the Bears, and I think I was giving too much credit to the Packers' defense. So, I mean, with the Bears the way that they are now, I suppose a win was asking a bit much, and people have begun to realize that. The Bears aren't a good team without Cutler. And forget about Forte. We could plug in Khalil Bell, and the offense would perform. But without Cutler, it's not that good, and that's a problem. And we're not. We all know we're not performing to the level that we were, and we're not going to until next year because it's just the way it is. And you know, now we're out of the playoffs, so this week's game is extremely pointless unless you care about draft position, which there isn't much that we can do to improve. And do you really want a higher draft pick? I mean, I don't trust Jerry Angelo picking anyone. And that's a problem. So, you know, for the first half of the Packers game, the Packers offense actually did not look to be that good against us. And I tagged that with not having a sense of urgency, because they scored to start out the half and scored to end. And they went no huddle, and they hurried it up. And when they had that urgency and forced the Bears' defense to not huddle and to force them to not get any rest, they were able to score, which I'll come back to later. I went over the average ages of the defenses in the NFC North for my own curiosity, and something interesting came up, but I'd have to see how the correlation plays out for previous years. I don't think it matches, but this year it's kind of interesting. So, you know, rushing against the Bears' defense, it exposes the holes in the cover two, and it exposes their age. And it's just, without an offense that can provide time for that defense to rest, it's just not going to be any good. And they got a little bit more time this week because we were able to move the ball a bit better. And it's because it was the Packers' defense. They did a little bit better, but our safeties are still a weak point. Our corners are still a weak point. And I've begun to really think that part of the problem is that we play a 4-3. Because our defensive line isn't great. You get more push because you have Peppers. You can attract two or three blockers. But overall, without Peppers, it's not that good. And even Peppers it's been a middle-of-the-road year for him. It has not been a great year. I don't think we're going to get the great years out of him. I think that the Bears broke the rule that they're following a Forte by overpaying for future production. Because remember when they said they didn't want to pay for past production with Forte? They wanted to pay him based off their future expectations of what they're going to get from him. They did the opposite, I think, with Peppers. We know they did the opposite with Chester Taylor. But they definitely, I think, have done the opposite with Peppers. We'll see. I mean, he's 31. Another 6 years likely in the league. Might finish out here, but I don't think we're going to be getting the great years out of him like he had in Carolina. So we'll see what happens there. But a 3-4 defense, even if it's still cover 2, because you can do a cover zone defense with a 3-4, might benefit not only the defensive line, because then you can bring a couple rushers from the linebackers or the safeties or the corners and mask that from the offense. I mean, right now they know it's usually our front four. But also get some pressure off Urlacher and Briggs, who are 31 and 33. And allow them a chance to not have to cover as much ground, because you'd have an extra linebacker. I think a 3-4 would really help the weaknesses that are being exposed in with our linebackers. And it would really help with the handoffs in the zone to the corners and the safeties. And just put more people out there. And especially in a league that is quickly becoming pass first, it would be a good thing. That would mean a wholesale change, though. And I don't think we're going to get that. I think we might get Mike Martz leaving. That's looking more lovely, more likely, now that Lovey seemed to get pretty miffed at what the press had asked him the other day. Because Van Hinkie got a little upset with that. And we might see Tice go, because, yes, we've given him garbage to work with in the line, and signed more stupid extensions for players like Williams this week, who has performed okay, but not enough to warrant an extension. No. We don't need more stupid extensions on this team. More proof that the front office doesn't understand what they need to do. Extending these mediocre offensive linemen and wide receivers, because Earl Bennett only really looks good because he's on this team. He'd be a fourth string wide receiver on the Packers. On the Bears, he looks like he's number one, or number two, and he is number two now, because the unfortunate injury to Johnny Knox. But that's a lot of money. That's $9 million. That could be going towards actually improving our wide receivers. Or improving our offensive line. Or signing Forte. Or drafting and signing talent to back up the linebackers. And back up the safeties who are already young. And bring in some young blood to this team. Because you'll see, you'll hear later, that's a problem with the defense. Is the age. It's a problem. So the Bears' offense actually moved the ball. It was nice to see some offensive production out of the team. McCown did a good enough job for backup. It's really frustrating to see McCown perform as well as he did and not have been put in earlier. That's frustrating. We could have won at least two of those AFC West games if they had made the change sooner, which is why you have to question this coaching staff. And you have to wonder how did they let this slip away. And Callen, if he can perform again next week, he's your backup. That's it. And you've got a capable backup then. And then your depth is back at that position, which we haven't had in ever. And Khalil Bell ran the ball well. He found whatever holes the line could make. Then again, though, this is the Green Bay defense, which is not that good. They're looking better, but they're not that good. But we moved the ball. We could have won two of those games against the AFC West, which would make us now 9-6. It would have been a good thing. We'd still be in the playoff hunt. Now we're out of it. And that's where you have the question, why did the coaching staff let this slip away? It's obvious they did. And that's a problem. They didn't know what talent they had. Jerry Angelo didn't know what talent they had. And they just assumed they'd be okay. And now that we've had the injury bugs, we're exposed. The talent's not there. The depth is not there on defense. The depth is not there on offense. The depth isn't there for special teams. And this is a problem. And that's where you really have to be upset with the coaching staff for not realizing that their depth was a problem. And with Jerry Angelo for not realizing that he had no depth on this team. And I'm not sure that we will next year either. I'm not sure that they will draft or sign the players necessary to shore up these units. We're looking at the problem going forward, and if the injuries keep piling up, this is going to be a problem. How can you not be upset with how the coaching staff in the front office handled this? It's been a disaster. We could have still had a chance with McCown and possibly. I mean, it is all coulda, woulda, shoulda. But it's still frustrating. Frustrating that you knew that there was that you could tell there was a lack of depth. And they just kind of swept it under the rug and assumed that everyone would be healthy. And they assumed wrong. And you should never assume that people will be healthy all season. Not with that offensive line. But hey, they beat us, and that's what we expected. Nothing too much of a surprise there. And hey, that's just kind of how the season goes at this point. So I did some math this evening. I wanted to see what the average defensive age was, defensive starters age, was for the teams in the NFC North. Figured this would be small enough for me to look at and see if there was an obvious problem with the Bears. And there is. Oh, is there? There is a problem with the Bears. So, I just started out with the Bears and did the math, and I rounded these up and down accordingly based on where they... over 5/10, under 5/10. The Bears have an average defensive age of 28. You might be thinking, well, that's not too bad. So we're just going to go now from top to bottom. Packers, 26 years old. Lions, 27. Bears, 28, and that was rounded up. Vikings, 28, and that was on the dot. Notice anything about that? Let's look at the order again. Packers, Lions, Bears, Vikings. That's the order of the NFC North standings. I don't know, and I don't know if I'm going to put the work into it. I don't know, and I'm actually doubtful that it does. That it correlates this way. Previous seasons... Because we know the Lions. The Lions had no major defensive starter changes from last year to this year. Same thing with the Packers. Same thing with the Bears, for the most part. I mean, the Bears might have actually gotten younger with the safeties. And the Vikings. Vikings didn't really have any big changes either. So I doubt that it matches up to last year. But give and take a few games, and it would. now the Packers actually get skewed high because of Charles Woodson. When you take him out of the equation, just divide by 10, it ends up at 25. And it also doesn't match up to how good the defenses are, because in the defenses here, in this division, I would put them Lions first, Bears second, Vikings third, Packers fourth. But it's just funny how it matches up. But it does show you that there is an age problem with the Bears defense, because 28 players are lucky if they have a career till they're 30. And have the average be 28, and a lot of those starters be above 30. I mean, the Bears are actually pulled down from being closer to 30, because they've got players 22 to 24, 25. That's pulled that average down, because there's a lot of players older than 30. 30 or older. The average should actually probably be close. Well, would actually be closer to that if you accounted for it. So this is just the average. Median age would be more interesting to see, because I've known the Bears' median age is closer to 30. But age is a problem. We don't have the depth on the team, on the defense, to help. And they need to fix that now. Or we're going to be looking at the same problem that we're having on offense now with the defense in 3 or 4 years. We should be really looking at this collapse, because it's been a collapse, as an eye-opener. I think some people are starting to get it. I've actually finally have heard other people say the same things I've been saying now for weeks, which is this defense is actually not that good. They're very middle of the road now. But I worry that the organization won't see that. I have my reasons to have my doubts. We all have our reasons to have our doubts. And I think they're not going to see it. And we're going to be looking at finishing third and fourth for the next 5 years. It's the late 90s all over again. And we're going to be wasting Cutler's best years. And Forte's best years. And we're not going to get anything for it. Which, was really frustrating. So, a meaningless game coming up. Packers, Vikings, it's doesn't make any difference at all. It might matter more to the Vikings. We all know that they took a big hit this past week without Adrian Peterson being knocked out. And that's unfortunate, too. And who knows about Christian Ponder. But Joe Webb's not bad. It's a game that doesn't matter really to anyone. It would be nice to finish 500, but that's still bitter. Considering that we won 5 games in a row, and now we've lost 5 games in a row. Which I think is the first time that's happened under Lovey. It's hard to get excited for it. It is basketball season now. I am missing the Bulls game right now to record this. It's on in the other room. It's just hard to care, because we know it's the end of the season. That's it. We're done. I won't get to do this maybe another week or two. That's it. And reevaluate from there. Ourselves. So it's hard to care, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of defensive starters sit this week to let injuries start to heal up. Now, I don't know if we'll see Urlacher for the whole game, or Briggs, or Peppers, just give them a break. The one thing that's really interesting is that Jared Allen has a chance to break the sack record. If he gets, 5 sacks, which, this offensive line, it's possible. It's just hard to care. I think the Bears come out with a win. 17 to 15. No. 20 to 17. And that's that. And that's the end of our season. It really sucks. It was really looking like we were going to be going for a while, and now we're not. I don't really have much else to say. Again, it's hard to get really excited about. really hard to get excited about any of this. So until next week, thanks for listening. Go Bears.